punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. She's getting a little breezy out there, so please don't be doing nothing you're not supposed to be doing today with fire. No sense in it. We are currently under a fire weather watch. And let me back up to the one I need here. I got so many guests in here. We've been in here just talking. I forgot to do my job here. Anyway, currently at Arnett, it's 62, 63 at Beaver, 60 at the May Ranch, 60 at Fairview, 58 at Hobart, 61 at Hollis. Let's see what's happening out here in the Texas Panhandle. 64 at Lipscomb, Canadian is 64, Miami is 62. Down south, Wellington 62, Memphis in 62. And Childress is 63, and Odell, south of Altus, across from the Red River, is 60 degrees. We got a big show planned, just so you can get your notebook ready. We got some gentlemen in here from Ag Defense, Risk Management. We're going to be talking livestock, crop, and grass insurance. How about that? And a lot of questions. There's always a lot of questions about insurance. Programs at FSA. Text line is going to be wide open today at 580-225-9697. No matter what part of the state you are in, if you have a question pertaining to what we're going to be discussing today, I got some experts in here on the panel, and we'll be if you got questions, if there's something about these insurance that you don't understand, today is going to be a great day, because we're going to take up pretty much the whole last three-fourths of the hour to answer questions, talk about it. And I think it's going to be a great show today. Anyway, so all right, let's get started and get you updated on grain prices. Corn for May is $6.47, July is $6.28, September is $5.79, December is $5.70. Soybeans for May, $14.74, July is $14.48. Soybean meal is $4.56 for May, $4.51.80 for July, $4.42 for August. Hard red winter wheat, May $8.70, July $8.56. It's a little bit in the red, not too bad. It's made a nice recovery this week already on price wise. Oats for May $3.78, July is $3.68. On down here, cotton upped it a little bit overnight. May is 82 cents a pound. Also July, just a fraction away from being 83 cents a pound. Sugar, it's up for old Sugar Daddy over at Dale High, 21 cents a pound. Crude oil is just even for the day. May is 73.20 for West Texas Intermediate. Natural gas hanging in there, kind of where it was yesterday for April at 206. Here's a report from Woodward yesterday. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour, by the way, all hour. I have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up for you after this first segment break. But Woodward yesterday, compared to last week, slaughter cows and bulls were mostly steady. Demand was moderate. They were 552 head sold yesterday compared to 374 last week and 916 last year. Breaker cows, they had 29 head, averaging anywhere from 1443 on weight to 1576, and they were bringing $1.82 to $112.53 on the average. High cow yesterday on the breakers was $1.15 a pound. Boner cows, there was about 75 head there, averaging anywhere from 1190 to 1247, and they were bringing anywhere from 95.75 to 104.30. 108 was the high end on lean cows. It was about 23 head there yesterday, averaging anywhere from 9.35 to 11.54, with the price being from 64 cents to 88.94. The 9.35 weights was bringing 64 cents, so I'm guessing they weren't in too good a shape. bulls, about 35 head. Weights were anywhere from 1585 to 1958, with 2270 being the heaviest bull sold yesterday. And they were bringing anywhere from, on average, 8565 to 11970. 12550 was the highest bull, slaughter bull that sold yesterday. Bred cows, briefly, they were in the 2 to 4 year old range. They were bringing anywhere from 1300 to 1635. And then on the 5 to 8 year olds, up to 1650 on bred cows. And 8 year old plus was bringing high end on them was 1310. Cow calf pairs, 5 to 8 year olds were bringing 1635. And that was with 150 pounds or less calves on them. Medium and large number one with 150 to 300 pound calves, they just had one and it brought $1,000. How about that? And it was an older cow, 8 years plus. So that's your report from there. All right, when we come back, I'll have you a little information on Taylor Ranch. Also, the gentleman, Greg, that was in here last week from the Votech, talking about their plants and stuff. They're growing over there for a fundraiser. They're out of flowers. They sold out. And where, see, radio works. I don't know if I had anything to do with it, but the flowers are gone. But they do have a lot of tomato and pepper plants, and I'll discuss a little more about that coming up when we take this Taylor Ranch break. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracs. We have an automated system that we fuel fracs. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently, it is on the Gabe Gadget here in our studio, the Gabe Gadget Mezzanine Center. 58.3 degrees at Elk City, 38% humidity, and it's showing the winds at 10.7 miles an hour, but we're downtown with all the skyscrapers, so we don't get all the wind here. Out here in Goodland, Texas, humidity is 33%, dew point's 32, the winds are out of the south at 18 with gusts up to 23. Peak wind gust today so far has been 27. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.33. 33 100ths or 331 thousandths, as they say in Roger Mills County up there around Grimes. That's the way they measure their stuff. Anyway, no red flag minutes so far today. Sub-freezing minutes today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature at Goodland, Texas is 55 degrees. All right, well, joining me here on the show on this Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour is Mr. Davy Jones, Randy Hawley, and Justin Woodruff. And we're here, we're going to be, they are with the Ag Defense Risk Management Program, and they're in here, they're hoping to answer a lot of questions to a lot of individuals that don't understand crop insurance, livestock risk insurance, grass insurance. There's a lot to it, isn't it, Mr. Jones?
There's quite a bit. It's quite a litany of different things for people to try to absorb.
Okay, first things first, your name.
My name is Davy Jones.
No, I know it is.
Okay.
Davy Jones.
In spite of all the baggage that comes with it, that's what it is.
So, what was the guys, the British rock band? The
Monkees?
Yeah, the Monkees.
Yeah.
Any kin to them?
No. Well, I guess that depends on who you talk to. I guess we all go back there somewhere, according to some folks.
Well, since you didn't act like you knew a lot about the Monkees, what about Captain Jack Sparrow?
Well, that's a completely different story. That one's a lot deeper.
In the water?
Yeah. I've been dealing with that my whole life.
Well, tell everybody who you are. Just get a little bitty bio about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Fletcher, Oklahoma. I graduated there. I went to Oklahoma State University, studied ag education, taught at Hennessy, and then down at Snyder. Before I retired, after about 5 years of ag teaching, I retired and opened up a feed fertilizer.
It was a tough group.
I wasn't near as stout as I thought I was.
Yeah.
But I wanted to move back home, and we were expecting our first child, and I bought a feed dealership, a Purina feed dealership, off of a friend in Fletcher, back where I had been born and raised, and I operated that until I sold out to Livestock Nutrition Center in 2003. Kind of helped them open up a couple facilities in Chickasha and Altus. Went to work at a co-op nearby, and in 2016, kind of ventured off into the crop insurance consulting world from there. I'm part of Ag Defense Risk Management. We're headquartered there in Elgin. We've got 15 agents kind of stretching from Texarkana, Texas, around through the Panhandle up through Canyon, and in many parts of Oklahoma. And so kind of the way I kind of would explain our agency is kind of like a veterinary clinic. You know, some clinics are specialty, just small animals. Some clinics are just for equine, and some clinics are general large animal. And crop insurance has kind of evolved into that as well. You know, there's multiple peril crop insurance, which we do that. Most veterinarians could tell you a little bit about every type of species, but they have a specialty in a specific area. So Ag Defense has got a broad base of all types of insurance, even beyond federal crop insurance. But in the crop insurance arena, we pretty much are specialized in the rainfall and the livestock insurance. We kind of would like to feel like we are particularly good at those things that affect cattlemen.
Right.
And so that's kind of our forte, even though we do a lot of different things.
I got you. Well, on to the next gentleman, Mr. Hawley.
Yes, Jimmy.
Have you ever taught school?
I started out as an ag teacher when I went to Crescent in 1987. Dave was over at Hennessy, got to know him.
Right.
Then I moved back closer to home 3 years later, went to Darnett for a couple of years, and then Shattuck came open. That's where I was born and raised, so moved back to Shattuck. Then I got to be ag teacher at Shattuck. I tell people I got demoted to superintendent. The superintendent probably last 15 years and enjoyed that. And retired 5 years ago, I believe. And
that demoted's a good word.
Well, so, I mean, I love ag.
It just means you need a better secretary.
Exactly.
I had a great one. But I got out. I'm doing what I've dreamed of doing my whole life, is raising cattle, doing a little bit of farming.
Oh, I know. You just showed me that picture of those heifers you bought here at one of the bull sales, or one of the production sales right here. Wow, you did good.
Well, I like good cattle. It doesn't cost any more to run good cattle than it does.
That's true. It doesn't.
So I try to run good cattle, and when you take them to the sale barn, I guarantee you the buyers know what good cattle are.
Right, and you got... You hit the nail on the head right there. It doesn't cost any more to run good cattle than it does your average cattle. Yeah, you're going to pay more for your bull, but you're going to get more for your cattle. It all works out.
Right. That day of that bull sale, I remember a guy on the radio tell me a good bull is worth about 5 feeder calves.
Yeah.
Well, a feeder calf right now is worth about $1,500, so that bull sale, I ran cattle up. Well, Jimmy, you told me 5, so $1,500, $7,500.
Yeah.
And guess first bull and sell, guess what I ran him to?
$7,500.
And the guy that bought him, good friend of mine,
yeah,
got a little bit more money than I did. But
so you got outbid, it's what you're telling me.
I sure did. So I bought the next one.
What held you back?
Money. You should have said 6.
Okay. Well, Mr. Justin, tell us what's going on here with you. You come in here, as I thought, as a customer, but now you're not. You're both.
I am, yeah. So my crop insurance story started as a customer. In fact, well, been a crop insurance customer, been farming, you know, all of my adult life, but was running the farmers co-op and at Sayre. And when I was running that deal, I got approached by Mr. Jones and his daughter Beth, and to set up a meeting. And so we had a meeting, and when I left there, I bought the product they were selling. And Davey told me that day that he was going to hire me to sell this product, and I told him no. And it took him 3 years to browbeat me down to sell it, but one of the best decisions I ever made. You know, it's really easy to sell something when you know how it works and you understand that its value in the world. So
yeah.
My background is all ag. I mean, I've venture off into a lot of other things and get a lot of other experience, but I've always farmed since I was a little kid, and kind of farm in the Delhi, Hex, Sayre area, born and raised in Sayre, and never really broke the ties and got away from it. So I'm there. Also own part of a feed store at Sayre that we just opened last year.
Yep.
And fixing to open a brick and mortar crop insurance agency there in the same building with it.
I wonder why they was making that all fancy for a feed store.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Well, that feed store will eventually go back to where the feed store came from, but there's going to be a whole lot of other things in that building, and one of them is going to be a really nice insurance office to sell these products.
Yeah, awesome. Well, now I know. I see it going on all the time. Now I know what's happening.
Improvements in Sayre.
Improvements in Sayre. It's always going on. Sayre's a good town. Well, he said something, and I want to start with you. I would say not half, but a pretty good size percentage, under half, don't really understand or didn't even know how crop insurance works. So, plain and simple, start out with whichever issue you want to talk about?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing would be to maybe lay a little groundwork, a little historical groundwork on the federal crop insurance program and kind of what's happened with it in the last, 10 years or so. we had forever had crop insurance, but it was primarily for row crops and cereal grain crops.
Right.
There was very little crop insurance of any type that would benefit someone who wasn't actively cultivating and farming crops for harvest. As the Farm Bill of 2008 expired, I think most people in Congress and most ag leaders knew that the next Farm Bill was going to be a really tall mountain to climb. There were getting pushback from constituents across the country that really didn't like the type of safety net that was being implemented in agriculture through the USDA and via the Farm Bill. And there was some pretty implicit demands that things needed to change, and they needed to change radically. And so those of you that were kind of staying tuned into the Farm Bill realized we had about 8 years where they just kicked the old Farm Bill forward. 2014, we finally got a new Farm Bill passed, and that Farm Bill actually kind of completely overhauled the farm safety net provided through USDA, where there used to be multiple commodity programs and disaster programs. They all but eliminated those. They didn't completely eliminate them, but they reduced them significantly and made tremendous increase into the funding for federal crop insurance subsidies. As that 14 Farm Bill approached, they began to see some real inadequacies in the overall federal crop insurance program as it related to people who didn't grow row crops or cereal grains. For example, what if someone just ran cattle and had a haying operation? So in 2008, they implemented a new federal crop insurance program called Pasture, Rangeland, and Forage. And it is for grasses, both grasses that are grazed as well as grasses that are hayed, or any other perennial crop that would go towards haying. Alfalfa in our part of the world is the most notable example of that. And so in 2007, 8, somewhere in that range, that's where that program was launched, and it was in response to the change they knew that was coming in the federal crop insurance as a result of the 14 Farm Bill. And so that program is one that has been constantly increasing a little bit in awareness among producers, and it has been expanded to all states and all counties throughout the United States. But as we go through the country, we still see a tremendous number of people that are not participating in that pasture, rangeland, and forage program.
What's the reason?
It's just I think it's a combination of two things. One is there may not be enough agents that are talking about it. The guys that have long focused on multi-peril crop insurance in Oklahoma and Texas and in other parts of the country, that's a pretty full-time job just keeping up with the changes and the paperwork required to track those crops for harvest.
Oh, I can see that.
And so, and people kind of tend to get real focused on what they do. And so for some, it's a lack of awareness of just how valuable the PRF program is. For others, it's a lack of time, to even address that. And so that's kind of why we chose to focus on those things that people weren't participating in, which is the rainfall and the livestock programs. There's probably a much larger percent of producers that are not participating in those than, for example, multiple peril crop insurance.
Yeah, and that's you hit it right on the head there, because, and plus probably a lot of people, even like myself, that I'm not just naive, but I just, like, I'm just learning about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear all my buddies say, my rainfall here for, I picked this 3 months or this quarter for next year. And what you got to understand is you also have to be a year ahead of yourself.
Yeah, you got to be planning ahead. So, for example, it's too late to enroll in that program for this crop year.
Right.
For grass. It has a deadline of December 1.
Yep.
And then the insurance begins in January and it ends in that next December. So December 1 would be kind of a place to mark on your calendar of trying to find a way to get educated on how PRF works. It makes a lot of difference how you set it up. So try to find an agent or an agency that does somewhat specialize in rainfall. Not that someone who doesn't specialize in it can't do it, but, you know, it's kind of like that specialty veterinary practice. You'll probably get a little more insight.
No, it's not. It's like having a good bookie.
Well, same difference.
Yeah. So, well, let's take a break real quick, and let's stop right there.
Okay.
And when we come back, let's just continue with the grass and get that figured out, and then go with, you know, on the rainfall, and then bleed over into the livestock. And when we finish show up, we'll finish it up on the crops.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
This is a Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 27th. 1,117 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 318 brought 276. 5 at 585 brought 222. 7 at 628 brought 221. 14 at 685 brought 201. 35 at 773 brought 190. 21 at 884 brought 176.50. 18 at 965 brought 166. 3 head of heifers at 380 brought 216. 9 at 595 brought 206. 11 at 681 brought 180.50. 4 at 704 brought 179. 10 at 830 brought 171. 11 at 860 brought 167. 20 at 1,000 brought 147.50. Butcher cows were 50 to 109. Butcher bulls brought 89 to 129. Bred cows were 1035 to 1125. Pairs brought 1375 to 1700. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
I'm back. Anyway.
I'll explain it after the show. I think I know what happened. It almost happened to me this morning. You're not alone, Jimmy. We're in this together.
Okay. We're doing a lot of stuff here at the studio to make things better and stuff happen. Well, I got a forecast for northwestern Oklahoma, and it is 64 degrees at Arnett. Feels like 64. Humidity is 20%. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. South-southwest winds 17 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 25. We are under a fire weather watch in northwestern Oklahoma. 71 degrees today and windy. Tomorrow, 71 and blowing dust. Friday, 71 and blowing dust. Saturday, mostly sunny and 68 and a wind. Same thing Sunday, 83 degrees and a little breezy, but not as bad as the next couple days here. All right, back in the studio, we are talking with Mr. David Jones, Randy Hawley, and Justin Woodruff, and they are with the Ag Defense Risk Management Program. And right before we went to break, Davey, we were talking about the rainfall deal and, you know, just understanding. Let's continue on. Explain the rainfall deal.
Okay, so the three questions that people normally have when we talk about rainfall insurance is, okay, so well, what makes it? Why does it work? You know, and then kind of the second question is in layman's terms, how does it work? And then the kind of the final question is usually how well has it been working? So I think I can hit those three in a very abbreviated way. The reason why it works is the same reason all federal crop insurance does work for people who utilize it, and it's because of the federal subsidies. Crop insurance is unlike any other type of insurance you buy in that if you look back at a track record having participated in crop insurance for a number of years, you're going to discover that it was not an expense item over time, but an income item. Okay. Now, not to say there weren't years you had to pay premiums, but if you took the losses in the years where you had losses, and you then also take the total of the amount of premiums you've paid over a 3, 5, 10-year period,
You're gonna
find out that what you basically have done is you have profited from those policies about to the tune of the subsidy that you've been receiving.
I got you.
And so federal crop insurance is a unique animal right in that way, and that's basically why it works, is because of the subsidy.
Well, I know I interviewed Frank Lucas here, U.S. Representative Frank Lucas here a while back, and you know his biggest deal on the new upcoming farm bill is the insurance.
Sure.
They had completely
and he was the ag secretary, or not the ag secretary, but the committee chairman when that 14 farm bill was passed. So he put a lot of his life into that farm bill, which basically kind of restructured it to be centered on federal crop insurance, now having a broader number of policies for more types of producers. So it's that subsidy that makes that's the grease that keeps the bearing working.
Yeah.
And so,
and if the bearing's working, the wheels turn.
And you know, I think that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned from crop insurance over the past 12, 14 years is that it is designed to do that. And so if people aren't participating in whatever federal crop insurance they're eligible for, you could kind of say, well, you're leaving money on the table.
Yeah,
it's kind of like going into the FSA office and saying, how many programs am I eligible for that would likely pay me as a producer through the FSA programs? And they say, well, there's three programs that are pretty much going to always pay. Well, I just want to be in one of them,
right,
or just two. I mean, and that some people are that way, and that's fine. But most people are kind of looking to not leave money on the table. And so
it's hard enough to make money farming and ranching.
Sure.
Without – and, I mean, this is not – is this a I don't know what I'm trying to be careful what I say here, but with this crop insurance, it's really important for a farmer and rancher to survive because the market volatility of everything is so crazy. I mean, just think if we didn't have some of this help from the emergency management risk and all this stuff during COVID, you know, when everything was shut down, how many farmers or ranchers would have went under?
Sure.
Without
sure.
that little help.
Yep. I mean, I think you could, with very few exceptions, you would find people say, I wish none of this was necessary.
Right.
And I'm in that boat too. I wish it wasn't necessary.
True.
But if it's not necessary, it's awfully close.
Yeah.
And it is the way that things are done. And so as long as it's being done, I think it just behooves people to get the best participation, get the most out of whatever is being offered, and manage your risk the best you can with it. And so subsidized federal crop insurance is a unique way of doing that. And on the grass in particular, the pasture, rangeland, and forage, I wish they'd have just called it perennial.
Right.
Because there's another policy for annually planted crops.
Oh, I got you.
And they call that annual forage, but they call the PRF instead of perennial forage, they call it pasture, rangeland, and forage. So
how does that work? You're depending when you're insuring it. So you go in and I'm the producer. You come in and talk to me. What are you going to talk to me about when it comes to like the rainfall? What's the deal? What's the perimeter?
The main things you need to know to make an informed decision is number one, how does the gridding system work? Like what is the acres that you operate? What are they grouped
what
into?
What grid in is it in?
And so
it's not a county; it's an actual
right,
grid.
It's smaller than a county. It's bigger than your farm. It's in our part of the world, it's about a 13 by 15 mile area. And that area has got assigned to it a grid ID number, and that grid ID number has a daily rainfall history that's been tracked by NOAA since the late 30s.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're looking at the land you have in any one of those grids. Now, if you're a small producer, your land may all be in one grid. If you're a larger producer, it's more than likely
you're in more than one grid.
But every farm is still in one of those grids.
Right.
Now, that rainfall history has been being tracked with a really consistent method for all of that time.
Okay.
And that's probably the source of the most confusion, and if it's not understood, the source of the most frustration in the program. There is not a rain gauge in every grid.
Right.
And so what it does is it uses a blended system of combining the rainfall that is recorded in the three closest grids to the grid that you're looking at.
Okay.
And the further away the grid is, the less influence it has in your grid.
Okay.
So every day that rainfall is recorded in those three closest stations. Some material says four. I've seen more that says three stations than four, but it's either three or four rain stations.
Okay.
They will not tell us which ones they use.
Right.
And so you gotta to a certain extent trust the system.
Okay.
And if you look at the history of the system, it's fairly easy to get some confidence in it. But that being said, it's awfully easy for the system to not work on any given day.
Yeah, that's like saying I own land on the east side of Clinton, Oklahoma, and on the west side of Clinton, Oklahoma, because I promise you it rains more on the east side.
Yeah, right. And those things are true, and they're reflected in the averages.
Okay.
But the thing that is unavoidable is the way we have these pop-up showers and these train rains that just kind of get on one area
2 miles
and stay
wide.
On it. So on some days, your land is going to be situated where you get none of that pop-up shower or that train rain.
But you're in
that
grid.
But your rainfall insurance says you did.
Right.
And obviously you didn't.
Nobody's ever come in and argued about that, have they?
No, not at all.
Whatever.
Sure, they always do. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, I can see
but
that.
Then there is also times when you are under that pop-up shower, but it doesn't rain in the stations. And over time, you probably get one as often as you get the other, but we're only human. We're going to remember the ones that treated us poorly.
Okay.
So it's a good system, but it's not a perfect system. The key is stay in it. If you get in this program and stay in it,
the average will be your part.
The subsidies works its magic, and you come out really good over time.
Right.
So that's how the rainfall is measured, and then it's divided up into two-month intervals throughout the year.
Okay.
There's 11 two-month intervals in a year. If you take January and February, then you take
February, March. Okay.
And so you've got 11 potential pay periods. We personally like to scatter them out as much as we can within that year. And what happens is every 2 months, those gauges measure the rain, it's recorded, and then it compares the rainfall for that two-month period against the historic average within that grid.
Okay.
And you don't have to file a claim. It's all done electronically. So it's a very simple system to participate in. And so those claims are settled on 60 days after each interval ends. It pays your premium first, so you're going to have to pay the premium at the end if you don't have enough claims to pay off the premium.
Okay.
But you could theoretically, once your premium is paid,
you could be getting a check every month on some of these prolonged droughts,
right,
which that works really good in tandem with the FSA programs that tend to pay like after the fact. This is kind of paying as it goes.
Okay.
So they work really well together. And then if you don't have enough claims to pay the premium, then you would pay that premium by November 15th of the following year. So that's a pretty shotgun approach, but it's kind of the high points.
Right.
If you would like to look at historicals about how that has worked, I can kind of tell you what it looks like everywhere in Oklahoma.
Right.
You're going to have somewhere between.
Yeah, you were showing me a while ago.
You're going to have somewhere in the last 20 years, you're going to have paid any premium at all only about 3 to 6 times out of the last 20 years, depending on your county and the grid that you're in
right.
in that county. You're going to see a return on your premium invested of somewhere between 20 and 50% in this whole state of Oklahoma, including eastern Oklahoma. And so it's really a good use of money and a great way to manage risk, utilizing federally subsidized crop insurance premium dollars that are pretty much geared to benefit you over time.
Well, let's take a break real quick. When we come back, he's been chomping over the bit to say something over there. Mr. Hawley has. I know he has. He's giving me the look, and he looks at you.
Be careful.
He hasn't looked at Justin yet.
Be careful how wide you open that door with Randy.
Before we go to break, though, let me tell you a little bit about the Taylor Ranch beef. Great outcomes take planning and patience. Taylor Ranch beef is an excellent example of this. If you're ordering for September delivery, Taylor Ranch has been working on those steaks for the past 2.5 years. They start with hand-selecting the best combination carcass and muscle AI bulls in the Angus breed, utilize top nutrition and health protocols, and give the animals the best possible care. The end result is a mouth-watering ribeye that gives you a great eating experience. That's Taylor Ranch. They developed every animal if it was going to be served on their own table. Quarter, halves, or whole beef available. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. And FYI, Mr. Taylor is going to be on the show to update us on some cattle business this coming Friday. So be sure and listen in on Friday. But we'll be right back after this break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 24th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,430 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 253 brought 272. 9 at 344 brought 270. 3 at 428 brought 238. 7 at 560 brought 220. 4 at 564 brought 212. 16 at 586 brought 211. 31 at 873 brought 191. 4 head of heifers at 338 brought 218. 8 at 439 brought 214. 9 at 466 brought 208. 11 at 535 brought 198. 8 at 546 brought 190. 4 at 565 brought 192. 5 at 720 brought 176. Butcher cows were 20 to 114.50. Butcher bulls brought 39 to 130. Bred cows were 875 to 1650. Pairs brought 985 to 3600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. And another great day to all you stewards of the land.
Your life is crowded. When you hit the road and haul the kids around, you need room. The supply chain has unkinked, and we've got a bunch of roomy SUVs at Barber Dyson Ford. During truck month, get customer cash and 0% financing on almost every vehicle line. Don't worry about rising interest rates. Finance with Ford and keep that extra cash in your pocket. Bring in your trade for an even sweeter deal. With a new SUV, you'll have all the room you need.
See the largest selection of F-150s and SUVs in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. Online at BarberDysonFord.net. Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Farmers and ranchers love used trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18-ply. Farmers and ranchers love used trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let me get my mezzanette up here, make a little slight change, and we'll be back in business. I'm picking Hobart, Oklahoma today for the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. See, that makes sense. Actually, going on right now at Hobart is the Hobart Stockyards having their sale. Woodward will be having theirs tomorrow, and then Elk City will be having theirs Friday, and Hollis will be having theirs Saturday. Currently at Hobart right now, under fire weather watch until 10 o'clock p.m. Friday. Not tonight, but Friday. So we got it going on in the next 3 days. So everybody be careful out there and be wise. 62 degrees at Hobart, 39% humidity. Southwest winds, 18 miles an hour. With wind gust up to 27 right now. Sunrise 7:29, sunset 7:54. 68 degrees today at Hobart. Tomorrow, slight chance of storms, 10%. 69 degrees for a high. Tomorrow night, you have 30% chance of thunderstorms. Friday, blowing dust, 75, high winds with gusts up to almost 50 miles an hour Friday. Saturday, nice day, winds will be out of the north and the east at 12 miles an hour, 68 degrees. And Sunday is 80 degrees with south winds 15 to 20 with gust up to 30. So springtime is here. I did tell these gentlemen in here earlier that I had got a text from Lacey saying that she doesn't blow things out of proportion like some weather people do, but she said not to give you hope. Still 7 days away, but next Thursday storm looks really significant for all of western Oklahoma. So we'll see. She told me she'll keep me up to date, but not, like I said, it's just a prediction. It's a science. Anyway, in the studio with me is Mr. Davy Jones, Captain Jack Sparrow, and Randy Hawley and Justin Woodruff. They're with Ag Defense Risk Management out here. Randy's out of Shattuck, Justin's out of Sayre, and you're out of Fletcher?
Elgin, yeah.
Or Elgin, yeah.
Same thing.
Well, so far everything, I haven't got anybody to text in, so they either understanding it or they're ignoring us. And so if you have a question for this, please text in on this insurance. We've been talking about the rainfall insurance, which I call grass insurance. Same thing, right? You're banking on the rainfall. It's an insurance policy. Now we're going to talk about livestock. And you wanted to talk about what, Randy?
Well, you know, when we came in and we met you today, Jimmy, you talked about selling some cows.
Right.
Yep. Letting your ground rest.
Yep.
I think that's something, I mean, I told you that it's a pretty good time to sell right now with the cattle market being so high.
Right.
It's a little bit scary being so high. At some point, we're going to probably have an adjustment.
Yeah.
When's that going to be?
Well, back in 2014 and 15, when we was coming out of that 2012, I didn't think there was another bad day coming myself.
We all do. I mean,
but it's got to reverse itself.
At some point, it will.
Yes.
You know, historically, it always has.
Yeah.
How'd you like to be going out and buying some of these grazing cattle for what they're paying for them today?
Not this cat.
What if we could show you a way to insure what you could sell them for at the end?
I got you. I'm listening.
I got a good expert in-house that will explain.
Justin?
Nope.
It's real simple. It's LRP. I've got all my cattle insured for next January.
Right.
I've done this for years. Mr. Jones finally talked to me and said, Randy, you know what I've done to help you. So why don't you help others? So I'll turn it over to Davy Jones.
Captain Jack Sparrow, what you got to say?
That was a fast introduction. Let me be the first to acknowledge there are multiple ways to insure your investment in your calf crop or in a group of cattle that you've bought for resale other than livestock risk protection.
Okay,
there's been historically several ways of doing that, and we really don't have time to talk about each one of them, but livestock risk protection is one way.
Okay.
To keep yourself from what most people would agree is ultimately going to happen at some point.
Right.
You know, I think most people would say probably in the next 2 years, for sure in the next 3 years, the calves that you have raised that you still own or the cattle that you've bought that you are going to resell are going to devalue between $250 and $500 a head, somewhere along that
easily.
Yep. And so the key is don't get caught without protection when that happens. And so since nobody knows when that's going to happen, of all times to kind of have a floor under the cattle you own, this is a time when it's probably more critical than at any point since 15.
Okay.
And so what livestock risk protection does is it falls into that same federal crop insurance category, subsidized product. And so it's a way of putting a floor in the feeder cattle market. So if you're used to a put option, it operates very similar to a put,
right?
Except that there is no liquidity in the livestock. On a put option, if you buy puts in, say, November, and they become valuable in July or August, you can sell your put, collect your money. Now your cattle are not covered any longer, but you can cash it in early. So it's got liquidity.
I got you.
If you insure cattle in November on a livestock risk protection policy, what you've done is you've changed so many dollars of premium, which you pay for after the cattle are sold, for a price that you picked in November from a menu that was offered. You know, you got multiple price options, and they would have different premiums attached. So you're basically exchanging a premium for a price. And if you've got that set up as November 10th, it's going to be November 10th when you know if you made or lost money on your insurance, and you would have no liquidity up to that point. So
right.
I like to point out the one big difference is the liquidity. The other differences are all pretty pro the insurance contract. You don't pay for the premium up front, you pay for it at the back. You can insure any number of cattle. You settle against the cash settled feeder cattle index rather than a futures price. You don't have to have a commodity broker's account, and you actually get to sell, you get to insure those cattle.
You don't have to go to OSU to figure this out.
You don't have to go to OSU to figure it out. But that's not a big deal. I was in my third year of econ before I figured out how a hedge worked. But it's relatively simple. It's got a learning curve as anything would have, but it is a very good way of setting a floor price that you're comfortable with at a price that's going to be very competitive with private products.
That's a good point to bring up, Mr. Hawley. We're about out of time. Music's going to start playing. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you guys.
Well, we've got agents across the state. We've got a website, agdefenserm.com. That would be the best place to look for phone numbers for the agent closest to you. We also have some informational videos, and we'll be doing some producer meetings in the area this fall or this summer leading up to the one product we didn't talk about was the annual forage rainfall.
Right.
There's some changes pending on that, so we're not really going to say much about it today, but another really good product for your grazing wheat, rye, triticale, and your summer hay crops.
Right. Well, gentlemen, Justin, Mr. Hawley, Captain Jack Sparrow, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
All right.
That's my
all right. I can take it.
Pirates of the Caribbean are my favorite movie. Anyway, thanks for coming in.
Appreciate the opportunity.
You guys have a blessed day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.